This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Give a little of yourself. Cure your greed. Purify your wealth. Look around at where you live. Look at all the good you have to give. Give a little of yourself. There's a hand somewhere to hold, a mouth to feed. There's so much that we can do for so many who are in need. Give our time, give our wealth, give our love, give ourselves. Know Allah sees each and every hidden deed. Give a little of yourself.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Fiqh of Zakah. I'm your host, Jamil Rashid. On the Fiqh of Zakah, we've been discussing many issues regarding Zakah. We should discuss the definition of it, what it entails, the different descriptions of the types of zakah that can be given. And we also looked at, recently, the recipients of zakah. To help us go through this and expound, we have with us Sheikh Muhammad Salah. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you, Jamil. It is indeed my pleasure.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. Sheikh, in the previous episodes, we tackled the issue of the recipients, and we went into some detail into them. Can we start again, just for a refresh for myself and for the viewers, who are the recipients who can take zakah?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala nabiyihi wa mustafa, thumma amma ba'd. Praise be to Allah alone. We praise Him and we seek His help. Whomsoever Allah guides is a truly guided one, and whomsoever Allah leaves astray, no one can show him guidance. May the best peace and blessings be upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah the Almighty determined the 8 categories who are entitled for the zakah, the mandatory sadaqah, in Surah At-Tawbah in verse number 60. Those are al-fuqara, al-masakeen, al-amilina alayha, al-mu'allafati qulubuhum, and fir-riqab, wal-gharimina, wa fi sabilillahi, wa bin sabil, the poor, whether fuqara or masakeen, the subgroup of the poor, and those who employed to distribute and collect the zakah, and those who are in debt and for freeing the captives, and for the sake of Allah, covers a very broad spectrum. As we said, the Jumhur have agreed that it is mainly jihad and sending the Muslim armies. Wabn al-Sabil is the wayfarer who lost his positions and does not have any means to send them home.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. Now, a question comes to mind is that when we speak to these people who are giving zakah, our brothers and our sisters, sometimes when they come to giving, they always have a question, and one of those is, who do we give to? Do we give to all of these 8 categories equally, Sheikh? How do we give?
Well, the mas'ala, or the issue of whether it shall be distributed, the zakah of an individual or the group, shall be distributed over the 8 categories, in a sense that you have to give each recipient of those categories, or it would be sufficient to give it all to one person. Let's speak about an individual. I have an isab that owes a zakah. I owe $1,000 or $2,000. Would it be sufficient for me to see one miskin, أو مجاهد في سبيل الله, or a da'wah center in the West, or a program that clarifies the deen to the people, particularly non-Muslims, and refute misconceptions, or a wayfarer, and just give it to him and say, take this? Al-Imam al-Shafi'i holds the view that one must distribute his zakah to cover the 8 categories. And if he's distributing it by himself or by somebody who's related to him, that means the 8 categories have been reduced to 7, because al-amilina alayha, there is no amilina alayha, there is no one who's employed to collect it and distribute it. So it will be only 7. Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal says, it is better to cover them all, but if you can, then it is permissible to give it to one. Abu Hanifa, may Allah have mercy on him, said, from the beginning, it is permissible to put your entire zakah in the hand of one person or one category. In Imam al-Shafi'i, may Allah have mercy on him, relies in his opinion on a hadith which we discussed before, when somebody came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him to give him from the sadaqah, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَرْضَ أَنْ يَحْكُمَ نَبِيٌّ وَلَا غَيْرُهُ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah did not accept that a prophet or anybody else will determine who are the recipients and those who are entitled for the mandatory sadaqah. حَتَّى حَكَمَ فِيهَا. Rather, he ruled himself in it. فَجَزَّأَهَا ثَمَانِيَةَ أَجْزَاء. So he determined the 8 categories. فَإِنْ كُنْتَ مِنْ تِلْكَ الْأَجْزَاءِ أَعْطَيْتُكَ حَقَّ. So if you fit in any of those 8 categories, I will give you. So he says the para meaning of this text says that we must give to the 8 categories because that is the termination of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other scholars and all of them have understood it differently, said the purpose is to help the poor. So if you help one, it is permissible. If you have plenty of money, somebody the other day was telling me that his zakah is in millions. MashaAllah, may Allah bless him and all the rich Muslims who are paying the due rights in their wealth. Yeah. May Allah even enrich them more and more and Amen. More. Amen. So when somebody's zakah is in millions, you're not going to give it to Jamil and say, this is for you.
Yeah.
A million? Mm-hmm. No. It will be given to the poor until you satisfy his basic needs. He doesn't have a house, he doesn't have a ride, he wants to get married or whatever. We assist them based on that. So that's why the best solution is, number one, the opinion of Al-Jumhur overrides the opinion of Imam Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i, may Allah have mercy on all of them. And we can say that it is permissible definitely to give it to one person, especially if your zakah is very little. Somebody's zakah is, if you have, for instance, 40 sheep, and you have one goat, one sheep that is owed on this, you just give it to one person or a poor family. It will be barely sufficient for them. Somebody who has barely the nisab, what's equivalent to 85 gram of gold or 595 gram of silver, and the zakah on that is 2.5%. So $200-$300 or whatever, if you give it to one person, that is permissible. But if it is a lot, then it is highly recommended to distribute it to cover as much as you can of the recipients of the zakah.
Okay, jazakallah khair, Sheikh. A question which may lead from this is, then who is entitled to receive it, Sheikh? Are there some people who are not entitled to receive the zakah?
If you recall the 8 categories, we agreed before that they're all Muslims. Right? There is one exception which was in the past during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some scholars said it may be available whenever it's needed in the case of al-mu'allafati qulubuhum or for reconciling the hearts of those who are interested in Islam and so on. The scholars have agreed that it is not permissible to give zakat to non-Muslims. But it is permissible to give them from the voluntary charity. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to one of his companions to uphold the ties of her mother from the sadaqah, the voluntary sadaqah, not from the mandatory zakah. Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Hadith Mu'adh, تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ وَتُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ. The pronoun him refers to the Muslims. To be taken, we don't take the zakah from non-Muslims, so we do not pay it to non-Muslims. But for the voluntary charity, it is permissible. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to assist non-Muslims. And he said with regards to the neighbor, مَا زَالَ جِبْرِيلُ وَصِينِ بِالْجَارِ حَتَّى ظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ سَيُوَرِّثُ.
SubhanAllah.
We're encouraged to treat gently our neighbors, even if they're non-Muslims, and give them food from whatever we eat, share with them happy moments, share with them sorrow events, and give them the condolence and so on. So assisting them financially if they are in need or ahlu dhimma from the voluntary charity, that is permissible, and you definitely receive a reward for that, like you're giving a Muslim exactly whenever it is needed. So non-Muslims are eligible for the mandatory sadaqah, which is az-zakah. Let me give you another reference where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it is permissible to give from the voluntary charity. He said, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَمَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. That the believers, they give the food and they feed the, those who are in need, whether poor or orphans or prisoners of war, for the sake of Allah. And obviously, POW, or prisoners of war, are non-Muslims.
Yeah.
Right? So they are eligible, not only that, and will be rewarded for that, as the Quran says. The second category you are not eligible for, the mandatory zakah, is the family of the Prophet ﷺ, Banu Hashim. Banu Hashim refer to Alu Ali, wa Alu Aqil, wa Alu Ja'far, wa Alu Al-Abbas, wa Alu Al-Harith. There is general consensus that those people and their descendants are not eligible for the zakah. Once in the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Hasan picked up a date. He does not differentiate between this date is sadaqah and this date is a gift and this date is... So he picked up, he was about to eat it. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kakhin, kakhin, aw kakh, kakh, itraha, throw it away. Ama sha'urta anna la na'kul sadaqah. This is a sound hadith agreed upon its authenticity. Didn't you feel that we do not eat the charity? So neither the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nor his family members and their descendants are eligible for the mandatory sadaqah. The scholars differ though with regards to the voluntary charity, which is not mandatory, whether it is permissible for Ahli Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family to accept it or not. And the summary to that, when the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La tahillu lana sadaqa. Sadaqa is not permissible for us. It's general. It covers whether it is voluntary or mandatory. As we explained earlier, that a sadaqa is a common word that covers the voluntary and the mandatory, which is a zakat, is specific. Ibn Qudama, may Allah have mercy on him, said, that Al-Imam Abu Hanifa and most of his students and followers, and Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i wa Al-Hanabila, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, are of the view that it is permissible to give them from the tatawwa, the voluntary charity, not from the fard. Why? Look at the beautiful reasoning. Because when a Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Al-Fadl ibn Abbas, when he came to ask a Nabi to hire him to collect the zakah so that he can get paid, he said, إِنَّهَا أَوْسَاخُ النَّاسِ. So, أَوْسَاخُ النَّاسِ, the filth that comes out of people's wealth, is a mandatory sadaqah.
SubhanAllah.
But besides that, their wealth is pure. It has been already purified by taking out the zakah. So they said this hadith, the catch in this hadith, specifies that what is prohibited for the family of the Prophet ﷺ is the mandatory sadaqah, which is a zakah, not the voluntary one. Wallahu a'lam.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. With that, we're going to take a short break, and inshallah, we'll attend in a couple of minutes. Please do stay with us on the Fiqh of Zakah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Give a little of yourself. Cure your greed. Purify your wealth.
We need to strive to know the ruling of the Sharia on a particular incident. Why scholars had to put a lot of effort trying to figure out how to give the ruling on such topics and issues. Islam tells you to look good, to smell good. The reason of the recession was the collaboration between insurance companies and the banks. Some scholars, though, stated that it is permissible for you to insure because you're compelled to do this by the government, by law, but you're not allowed to benefit from the insurance policy.
That we can do for so many who are in need. Give our time, give our wealth, give our love, give ourselves.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the Fiqh of Zakah. Sheikh, just before the break, we were going through again looking at who is allowed to receive the zakah. Now, here's another question, Sheikh. Who's allowed to distribute the zakah?
Before I go into that, I still have to continue
okay.
those who are not eligible for the zakah, because it's not only limited to non-Muslims and the family of the Prophet. You're not allowed to give your zakah if you're rich and you have the nisab. You're not allowed to give the zakah to your children, even if they're married and they have their own houses. Why? Because my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, what we call it in Arabic, wa in nazal, their descendants, their financial responsibility is on me if I'm capable, if I'm financially capable. Similarly, one should not pay the zakah to his parents, wa in alaw, even if they are the grandparents. Imam Malik said that the grandparents are exempt from that. One can assist them from the zakah if they're eligible for it. So if somebody is rich and he has to pay zakah, he cannot give it to his children nor his parents, even if they ascend, or in case of the children, even if they descend, the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren, and so on. Because the financial responsibility is on either the parents towards their children, or the children as they grow up and now they have wealth and their wealth is zakatable, the financial responsibility to cover all the needs of their parents is due upon them as well. أَنْتَ وَمَالُكَ لِأَبِيكَ, you and what you possess belong to your father as well. The fifth category of those who are not eligible for the zakah is the wife. Wife? Why didn't you say the spouses? No, because in Islam, the financial responsibility of supporting the family is due upon the man, not on the wife. That's why a wife is not required to support the family financially, even if she has her own possessions or inheritance or the dowry which she collected from her husband. In one incident, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged and motivated women to give in a charity. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud's wife was attending, and she had some huli and jewelry, gold and silver. So she decided to give the zakah on that or the charity. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, would you give it to anyone more worthy than me and my children? She said, you're my husband. He said, yeah, I know. I'm eligible and entitled for your sadaqah. If you're going to give it to somebody, I'm more worthy than anybody else. She said, no, before I ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she went and she consulted him, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam approved that. So the wife may give her zakah to the husband, because she's not required to support him financially, while it is the other way around. The husband may not give his zakah to his wife unless if the wife encountered a debt. I'm not supposed to settle her debt. This is something where she came to my marriage life with. She owed before, so I'm not required to take care of that. It is not because of my shortcoming. She was not buying food for the kids. So in this case, she will be eligible or entitled for the zakah, not as a wife, but as al-gharimin, those who are burdened by debt and unable to pay it.
So now, can we go on to the question about distribution now?
Yeah.
So how does the distribution take place? Who's allowed to distribute this zakah?
At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to send his workers, employees, to collect the zakah. And then he will collect it and redistribute it. That went through until the Ummah expanded and became bigger and bigger. At the time of Uthman ibn Affan, he gave a khutbah and he said, هَذَا شَهْرُ زَكَاتِكُمْ. People used to pay the zakah during the month of Ramadan, and until now people prefer to pay during Ramadan. فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ عَلَيْهِ دَيْنٌ فَلْيَقْضِ دَيْنَهُ حَتَّى تَخْلُصَ أَمْوَالُكُمْ فَتُؤَدُّ مِنْهَا الزَّكَاةِ. What does it mean? He said, it is due to pay your zakah during this month. So if you guys owe any debt, go ahead and settle your debts before paying your zakah in order to pay zakah. This hadith benefited so many things. It benefited, number one, that if the debt is due immediately, it will be deducted from the nisab
yeah.
or the amount which is zakatable. Or otherwise, the more right opinion, as long as it is deferred, postponed, then you still pay zakah. If it is paid immediately, it will be dropped from the amount which is zakat. It benefits, number two, that he give them the permission to calculate and take out and distribute the zakah on their own by giving them the duty of distributing the zakah without waiting for his employees or government workers to collect it. In this regard, there is a very important thing that is worth of mentioning. One hadith stated that a man whom the Prophet ﷺ sent amongst the zakah administrators to collect the zakah, he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he dropped the zakah that he collected and he said, "Hada lakum." This is yours, but this is mine. A property or food or gains or whatever, a gift. He said, "What is this?" He said, "Oh, you guys sent me to collect the zakah, I collected it. But those people, the tribe or those people, the villagers, gave me this as a gift for myself." And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered the companions and he climbed the minbar and he gave a khutbah in this regard. He said, "هلا جلس أحدكم في بيت أبيه أو بيت أمه فلينظر من أين يأتي." Why wouldn't one of you stay home, stay in the house of his father or mother, and let's see if people are going to give you gifts. They only give you a gift for one reason, so that maybe next time you take it easy on them. And then instead of taking this head, you take that head. Instead of taking this, you take this. So to make it easy for them, or to go easy on them, that's called bribery. If anyone is employed by the state or the government, he's not allowed to receive other than his salary. What sometimes we call it a gift, or you're being generous, or a cadeau, or you name it, whatever. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expected that people are going to give the haram different names, but that would not make it halal. Still, it is haram. So this is with regards to the zakah administrators who will collect and distribute the zakah being employed by the state or the emir. If we live in a Muslim state and the state or the governor or the khalifa or the imam requires us to bring our zakah to Bayt al-Mal, it's a state bank that's collected toward, that we collect our charities, whether the mandatory or the voluntary, so that we can redistribute it upon the poor and those who are entitled for it.
Yes.
If this is the case, we would love to. So this way we don't have to deal with individuals, we would deal with the state, and the state would guarantee the welfare of the entire society. Yeah. So if somebody cannot buy his medication or cannot go to the hospital, the state will be blameworthy and the state will be required to suffice his basic needs. But this is not the case. Nowadays, we cannot really find this hypothetical being where you would trust the imam or the emir or the president to give him your sadaqah. Because we see that it's wasted, whether it is the taxes or the customs, in many ways, that whether it pleases Allah or does not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam Muhammad Rashid Rida said, in these times, it is best to dispose the zakah on your own towards those who are eligible for it. At least you make sure that you're putting it in the right place.
But you can still use, say, like you said, an organization you trust, for example, Sheikh. Like especially in, say, some of the Western countries, a lot of the zakah is collected by organizations themselves. But as long as you trust them, you say, you check them out, you make out these guys are real honest people, you can give it to them.
Remember what we said. This is called individual distribution. What I did is I took out my zakah without having the state send somebody to estimate what I have and calculate my zakah. So I still did it on my own and give it whether to an individual, individuals, or an organization. So this is different than where it was in the past, that the state would send people to collect the zakah and they have their own list of eligibilities and those who are entitled for it. So if anywhere that you find a non-profit organization or an organization that is working in collecting and distributing the zakah and you trust them, that's fine. Anas ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated that a man came to the Prophet ﷺ from Bani Tamim and said, حسبي يا رسول الله إذا أديت الزكاة إلى رسولك فقد برئت منها إلى الله ورسوله. O Messenger of Allah, if I just give my zakah dues to your messenger, to your administrator, am I done? Am I free from any sin? Am I not blameworthy because I've done my part? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Na'am, certainly, indeed." إذا أديتها إلى رسولي فقد برئت منها. You're free from any sin. فلك أجرها وإثمها على من بدلها. And the sin thereof will be on a person who would change or do otherwise. I trusted you, Jamil, and said, would you please make sure you drop this money to this family? Or we don't have any poor in our locality. Mm-hmm. Can you take care of distributing the zakah? He said, sure. Or you volunteer, you into the masjid and say, everybody, I know a lot of poor people. Would you please give me your zakah and I will collect it? So we trusted you. We'll give you the zakah. We're done. Our part is done and we're free from any blame. It is only you who are responsible before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do it properly, you'll be rewarded. And if you betray, you will be responsible. And you will be the only person who's bearing the sin.
Jazakallah, Sheikh Muhammad, for all your advice today and all your explanations. Again, we've come to an end of another episode of Fiqh al-Zakah. I hope you join me next time. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Give a little of yourself. Cure your greed, purify your wealth. Look around at where you live. Look at all the good you have to give. Give a little of yourself. There's a hand somewhere to hold, a mouth to feed. There's so much that we can do for so many who are in need. Give our time, give our wealth, give our love, give ourselves. Know Allah sees each and every hidden deed.